Father God, we thank you for our brother. We thank you for his love of you. We thank you for his love of your people, his love of your word. And I pray now, Lord, you would anoint him this morning. You will give him unction freedom, that he would speak with your spirit in your leading and your power. Pray for us, Lord, that we would sit attentive, not to hear Morris, Lord, but to hear you. And Lord, may we finish today in the warmth of your smile. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I think you hardly needed some, didn't we? Shalom. So my talk today, as Jim has said, is our first in our series of six, titled Living Under God's Smile, His Blessings. And I've been led to talk to you about what it means to be blessed and what is the outworking of that blessing through what we call the Aharonic Blessing. Right, it's a double A, and it's A-H in Hebrew. So Aharonic Blessing. Okay, so forgive me if I use that to pronunciation. So, Father God, we give you praise and worship and thanks for your word. I pray that you will open our eyes and bless us to the power and truth of your word. Bring into our hearts and bring forth in our lives in due time, in Jesus' name. So, shalom. The greeting shalom is a blessing in itself. You remember that when Jesus appeared to the disciples in the upper room, after his resurrection, he greeted them with the words, "Peace be unto you. Shalom Alechem." Our great high priest appeared among the disciples with words of peace, shalom. And I like to see shalom as shorthand for the words of another high priest, Aharon, the chief priest, and his sons in the priesthood, who were commanded by God through Moses to bless the children of Israel. The familiar passage that is often adopted as a benediction in this church from Numbers 6 and 22 and verse 27. You have your Bibles open at that passage because it's good to see it on the page. So Numbers 6, 22 to 27. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Say to Aharon and his sons, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." And he adds, "So they will put my name on Israel and I will bless them." So this is a lovely example of Hebrew poetry. The blessing is a beautiful example of Hebrew poetry and its parallelism and the symmetry in this triplet of verses. In Hebrew, Yeverecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, ye'er Adonai panav elecha v'chonecha, isa Adonai panav elecha v'yashem lecha shalom. Three times the Lord God expresses his love for his people, and some may see in this the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the divine favor is doubled in each verse. So we have the three three of God, and the horizontal six of man, six being the number of man. And it may interest you to know that astonishingly, a very small piece of leather, evidently meant to be contained in an amulet, was discovered with this fragment of poetry, the blessing written on it in early Hebrew script dating from the first temple period around 900 BC, some 2,900 years ago, testifying to the enduring truth of the Word of God and the faithfulness of his people. It's in the Israel Museum in Jerusalem. So when is the blessing to be used? There's no instruction in number 6 or in the context as to when, where, or why the priest is to pronounce this blessing. But we can, it is indicated in Leviticus 9, verse 22. The priest, especially the high priest, emerges from the Holy of Holies of the tabernacle to bless the people after an atoning sacrifice has been made and accepted by God. The Lord says in Numbers 6 and verse 27 that when the priest says this over the people, then they will put his name on Israel and he will bless them. The priest here then is pronouncing the word of God, declaring to the congregation the outcome of the atoning blood sacrifice. And we need to hold that thought in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ and his atoning blood sacrifice. So is this benediction intended then only for Israel? The text preceding the blessing in Numbers 6 and verses 22 and 23 reads, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Say to Aaron and his sons, Thus you shall bless the people of Israel. Thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them." And furthermore, the Lord says in verse 27, "So they will put my name on Israel, and I will bless them." So how is it then that we Gentiles can arrogate this to ourselves? It begs the question, doesn't it, that the Aaronic blessing appears to be specifically for Israel, the Jews. So what are we Gentiles doing, adopting it and clothing ourselves with it? There are those who would say, well, of course, the church is the new Israel. Well, this is a serious error. There is only one Israel. Nowhere does it say in the Bible that the church is the new Israel. Christendom is always willing to accept all the blessings, but take no heed of the curses. So if you study Romans 9, 10 and 11, we are but wild olives granted in to the olive tree of Israel. So be not arrogant toward the branches, it says in Romans 11. Remember that it is not you who supports the root, but that the root supports you. So the answer to the question is, derives from the Old Testament, Genesis 12. The book records the call of Abraham. God told him that his offspring would inherit the land of Canaan and told that he would have numerous descendants. But God also promised Abraham, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And the question is fully answered in the New Testament. In Acts, in Peter's speech to his fellow Jews gathered near the temple, indicates that as physical descendants of Abraham, they are heirs of this promised blessing. Acts 3, verse 25. But the New Testament also indicates that Gentile believers, those that are spiritual descendants of Abraham, rather than the lineal descendants of Abraham, likewise share in this kinship. In Galatians 3 and verse 8. In fact, all Christians find their origin in Abraham the Hebrew, for as Paul states, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. In summary then, according to the book of Hebrews, Abraham's faithful obedience from the moment that God called him, Hebrews 11 verse 8, serves as an inspiring witness to the church, and that true people of God are both rooted in Abraham and numbered among his children, and therefore can rightfully accept the blessing. We can smile under this blessing. So what's the meaning of bless? There appear to be several ways in which we use the word bless when we sneeze. Perhaps in thanks, when we're grateful to someone for a service rendered, but always as a short form of prayer that will invoke God's favour on them. You know the lovely musical, The Fiddler on the Roof? There was a blessing for everything. The rabbi was asked, is there a blessing for the sewing machine? In every Jewish home, the meal begins with a blessing. Bless the Lord our God, King of the universe. Baruch atah Eloheinu melech ha'olam. And Jesus himself blessed and broke bread at the Passover meal. Well, I looked up the word bless in the big Oxford dictionary, and I was amazed to discover that the original meaning of bless in the English was to mark or consecrate with blood, taking Exodus 12 and verse 23 as an origin. See, the passage refers to the blood on the lintel and on the doorposts, the blood of the Passover lamb, saving the firstborn of the Hebrews from death. The angel of death passed over the households that were marked and consecrated with the blood of the Passover lamb. Well, in the Hebrew, Baruch, the word bless, like many Hebrew words that have the same root, also has other connotations, such as praise and worship. But we probably understand it more as words conferring divine favor. The Bible repeatedly links God's marked favor to his people with obedience and righteousness and faith. To be blessed by God is to be completely satisfied, to know his gracious favor in a marked way. And those on whom divine favor is conferred are blessed. And when we believe in the gospel, we know of a certainty that we are blessed by being marked and consecrated by the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Christ. And what greater blessing and peace could anyone know than the assurance that God has graciously forgiven his sin and granted him a place of eternal security in his kingdom. So supposing that we can in some measure be blessed, and being blessed, can we rest in this blessed assurance? Can we put the blessing in an amulet and hang it round our necks? Jesus tells the disciples in verse 13 to 16 in Matthew 5, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? Is it then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men? You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." And Jesus says elsewhere in John's Gospel 9 verse 5, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And yet here in Matthew 5, he tells them they too are the light of the world, knowing the day that would shortly come when they would be his body, the body of Christ in the world. They would, empowered by the Holy Spirit, preach the gospel throughout the world, even as we are called to do. So returning to verse 27 of Numbers chapter 6. "So shall they put my name on the people of Israel, says the Lord God. And we, being grafted into that olive tree, grafted into the royal priesthood, we have this great commission to take his word and bless the nations in the Lord's name. And so, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Go out in peace to love and serve the Lord." And this is the prayer: "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." Shalom. Shalom Aleichem. Amen.